Turn to Nehemiah chapter 6. We got to get going here.
Oh, we're good. We'll get out of here. Time for lunch.
We're talking about Nehemiah's efforts to rebuild the rubble, rebuild from the rubble, the walls of Jerusalem. As you're turning to this Old Testament passage, let me share a couple of verses from the New Testament that kind of relate to our theme this morning. These passages refer to enduring or remaining steadfast in the face of a crisis or temptation or a trial. And that's what Nehemiah is doing. Paul writes in Galatians 6, "Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we'll reap a harvest if we don't give up." If you don't, the King James says, if you don't faint, if you don't quit, you're gonna persevere. You're gonna get the walls rebuilt, or you're gonna get the harvest. And then Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, "Therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain." Don't quit. Stand firm, and let's get the job done, because he says your labor is in the Lord is not in vain. Nehemiah could have been saying those very things to himself and to his workers as they approached the completion of the rebuilding of the walls. They had to refuse to give up in spite of the difficulties, because their enemies were refusing to give up. The enemies were still hammering them, trying to defeat them. And the Bible tells us when Sanballat, that was the guy's name, he was kind of the head honcho around there that was opposing them. When Sanballat and the other enemies of Nehemiah saw they couldn't stop them from rebuilding the walls, they decided to slander and discredit Nehemiah. They thought if they could pick off the leader, they could destroy the leader, then they could defeat the whole project. It's still a pretty popular strategy with our enemy, with the devil, that he figures if he can pick off the pastor or the deacons or the leaders in a church, then he's got a better shot at destroying the church. And we've seen it happen with prominent leaders, prominent evangelical pastors and leaders of churches that the devil's kind of picked them off, and they've fallen into sin or whatever. And then the church is affected and diminished somehow. One commentary said that Nehemiah's enemies tried intrigue, innuendo, and intimidation. And I borrowed those three words to kind of look at what happened. So first of all, there's intrigue just means to scheme against someone, to kind of plot something underhanded against someone. And that's what's going on here. So the Bible says in Nehemiah chapter 6, "When word came to Sanballat, Tobiah, one of his friends, Geshem the Arab, and the rest of our enemies, that I'd rebuilt the wall and not a gap was left in it, though up to that time I'd not set the doors in the gates, Sanballat and Geshem sent me this message, 'Come, let's meet together in one of the villages on the plain of Ono.' But they were scheming to harm me." Ono was actually, I think, what Nehemiah said. Oh no, I'm not going there. But anyway, so their overt threats and their attempts to kill Nehemiah and the workers had failed. So now, instead of open warfare to try to kill them, they decide to use intrigue. "We'll just use this subtle approach. We'll make nice and we'll just lure him away from the work. We just want to stop him from building the walls and getting Jerusalem back on track again." So they invite him to a village in a beautiful, fertile valley in kind of the westernmost part of the area that's being resettled by the Jews now that they've come back from exile. And it had to have sounded kind of inviting, kind of restful, you know, a couple of days away in the countryside. That sounds pretty good. It's a beautiful part of Israel. You'll get some nice breezes coming off the Mediterranean in that part of Israel. So it would have been cooler, and you get out of the nastiness of the city and the rubble and all that. And so maybe Nehemiah's thinking, you know what? This might be a good thing. Maybe since they see that they can't stop us from building the walls, maybe they really are trying to call a truce, and we'll have peace, and this will be great. A little time in the country will be nice for me. I'm pretty tired and I deserve a break from this. And the workers are thinking, yeah, go. It'll be good for you. Besides, we'll get a little break because you won't be screaming at us to build the walls all the time. So go ahead, take a break. The enemy knows how to lure us to compromise, doesn't he? We'll just take a little break from serving God. Just take a little break. You've been working hard. You've been going to church. You're going to youth group on Wednesday night. You've been good. A little break won't hurt anything. Come on, it's just one evening. It's just one time. It's just one joint. It's just one drink. It's just one this. It's just one that. It's not going to hurt anything. Just come, just this one time, compromise. Just this one time, go with us. and do whatever it is. And the enemy tries to lure us away from what God's calling us to do. Let me just tell you, watch out when the enemy tries to tell you to stop doing what God's telling you to do and go do something else. Nehemiah knew that they were scheming to harm him, the Bible says. Don't trust the devil. Let me just tell you, the devil never has your best interest in mind. He's not looking out for your welfare, trust me. So when the devil shows up and says, hey, this is a good idea, come do this, that's a YouTube redneck thing. Hey, watch this. That's going to go poorly. When the devil says, come try this, that's not going to do well. Well, here's the second thing. So then he tries innuendo. That's just slander, a bad report, or, you know, trying to get a wicked report on somebody, gossip about somebody. So after trying to lure Nehemiah away from the work, and that didn't work, Sanballat sends an aide, and the Bible says he sends him with an unsealed letter in his hand. Letters at that time were usually written on papyrus, or they were written on a leather sheet and then rolled up, tied with something, and then they were sealed with a clay seal. And whether there was a signet ring or just a stamp or something, but there was a clay kind of seal placed on it. It guaranteed the authenticity of it because it was sealed with someone's personal seal or insignia or whatever. And it kept the details, whatever was written in the letter, it kept it private, just like we seal up an envelope. So it was that kind of thing. Nehemiah in verse 5 here points out that the message was in an unsealed letter. So it kind of indicates that the contents of the letter had been leaked to the media or to whoever was standing around. They may have made leaflets and put them on the windshields of all the chariots or something. But anyway, somehow they had leaked the information. The plan was they wanted to start a rumor about Nehemiah. And the letter accused him of wicked and selfish motives. So here's what the letter says. It's reported among the nations, and Geshem, one of the political leaders, and Geshem says it's true that you and the Jews are plotting to revolt, and therefore you're building the wall. Moreover, according to these reports, you're about to become their king and have even appointed prophets to make this proclamation about you in Jerusalem. There is a king in Judah. Now, this report will get back to the king, so come let us confer together. So what's going on is there is a king. King Artaxerxes is who Nehemiah worked for in Persia. And Artaxerxes says, no, it's okay. Go down, rebuild. Here's money. Here's people. Here's resources. It's okay for you to go do this. But the Jews were still going to pay tribute to the king. They were going to collect taxes and send to him. And they respected the political boundaries that were there. So Sanballat says, we're spreading the rumor that you're trying to make yourself king. And you've already got documents to verify that. And you're going to send out prophets to announce there's a king in Judah. And you're trying to get the people to rally around you. And that's why you're trying to build the walls up so you'll have a protected city. And you can rule from there. And you can build an army and all that. And word's going to get back to King Artaxerxes. And it's going to cause trouble. So why don't we get together and let's see if we can settle this thing. So they were going to conspire against him, to slander him, to smear him so that somehow he would have to capitulate, move out, give it up, or whatever. I love that phrase. It's reported among the nations, and Geshem says it's true. It's kind of a unnamed sources within the White House report, you know, and CNN has verified that there's an unnamed source, that, you know, that's telling this story. Basically, what this is fake news. Long before anybody came up with the name for it, long before they invented the internet, this is fake news. It was all rumors. It was all falsehood. But rumor is a great way to defeat God's people and God's leaders. I was a presbyter over churches for a few years. I've seen churches torn apart. I've seen pastors removed because of false accusations, questioning somebody's motives, innuendo that gets started, slander that gets started. And once it gets started, it's like that old gossip game, you know, that you're whispering to somebody. By the time they get down to the end of the row, man, there's something and everybody's just believing something. And you're trying to pull all that back in, you know, saying, no, that's not the truth. Well, no, that's what I've heard. Well, yeah, of course, that's what you're going to say. It's not the truth. But you know what I heard? I know what you heard. It was a total fabrication of stuff. But that's what I've heard. I remember sitting with a pastor and his wife in an office one time. And we were counting that we'd had a vote and this guy had been voted out. And I remember counting that, how heartbroken they were. And it was over false accusations. And innuendos. It wasn't the truth, but it just began to spread. And the lies spread so much that it finally brought down a wonderful man and a wonderful leader. Governments use it. We call it propaganda. Media outlets use it. False accusations. Motives get questioned. An evil report that finally chips away at a leader until they don't have a voice any longer. And they're just devastated by it. It's reported, the enemy says. And the question is, oh yeah, well, who says so, you know? And you kind of do that. Well, you know what I heard? And somebody tells something. Well, who said that? Well, I wouldn't feel right divulging my source, but I got it from somebody who knows. You know, if anybody ever does that to you, says, well, you know what I heard? Well, who'd you hear it from? Well, so-and-so. Well, let's go ask them right now. That usually kind of silences that. Oh, no, we can't go ask them. Sure we can. They're spreading this stuff. I'm searching for the right word. They're spreading this stuff. Let's just go ask them. Is this the truth or not? Let's just settle it right here. Well, I can't do that. Yeah, you know why you can't do that? Because you know as well as I do that there's no truth in that. We're just going to try to settle this. So let me just tell you, it gets used in all kinds of places. And in case you didn't know it, gossip is a sin. I'm just telling you, all right? It's in the list, all right? It made the list. Romans chapter 1, Paul refers to those deserving of God's wrath. And among those he lists, and there's some horrible things listed there, he lists gossips and slanderers. And so anybody that's spreading gossip about somebody, they're deserving of God's wrath. That's what the Bible says. All right. There, you made the hit list somewhere up there. And I got to tell you, just while I'm out here and sawing the limb off that I'm standing on, I'm going to tell you, I believe it includes posting salacious nonsense on Facebook and social media about people and about leaders and political leaders and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, thank you for the smattering of support there, whatever. We slander leaders. We spread false and evil reports. Let me just tell you, if it doesn't sound credible, it's probably not credible. Really? Well, but I read it on the Internet. I know. That's my point. You read it on the Internet. Well, you know, they won't put that stuff on the mainstream media. You know why they won't put a lot of that stuff on the mainstream media? Because they're making that stuff up on both sides of the aisle, all right? So don't say, oh, yeah, that's the liberal media. No, because there's a whole little body of people that are making up stuff about the progressives and the liberals, and there's stuff making up stuff about conservatives or whatever, and everybody's just fighting, and the truth was long buried in there somewhere. Yeah, I'm telling you the truth this morning. So I'm just telling you, it was wrong when it was aimed at President Obama. It's wrong when it's aimed at President Trump. It's wrong because it's gossip and it's not the truth. So be careful about sharing stuff that your own brain is saying, well, that can't be right. I know, so don't repost it, all right? If it's not right, it's not right. If it's not the truth, verify the source. Just click on the source, and if it says, well, anyway, you know what it says. Look what Nehemiah said. I love this. Nehemiah sent him this reply. Nothing like what you're saying is happening. You're just making this up out of your head. All right. Y'all are ahead of me on this. But anyway, you're just making this stuff up out of the perversity of your own mind. You're just, it's not even possible. You know, well, I saw the picture. I know. You can make a picture of anybody doing anything anywhere in the world, all right? Photoshop it somehow or another. I don't know. So anyway, okay. So Nehemiah says, you're just making this stuff up. Come on, I know you're making it up. And hopefully the people out there know that we're making this up. So they try intrigue, they try slander and innuendo, and now they try intimidation. Verse 9, Nehemiah says, they were all trying to frighten us. They're just trying to frighten us so we'll give up the work, so we'll stop rebuilding the walls. Then verse 10 tells us that he meets a guy named Shemaiah. And this guy, some scholars think he might have been a priest. And what he says to him, he says, I've got information that some men are coming to kill you. And so he says, here's the plan. Here's what I think we need to do. We'll wait till night, because they're coming at night to kill you. We'll wait till evening, and in the cover of darkness, we'll run to the temple, and we'll lock ourselves inside the temple. We'll close the doors. Some even think he was suggesting that Nehemiah hide inside the Holy of Holies, the place where only the priest was supposed to go. And Nehemiah, wisely, and I think with the discernment of the Lord, Nehemiah realizes that this man, even if he is a priest, is not sent from God to warn him, but has been hired by Tobiah and Sanballat to trap him. And so he says in verse 13, he had been hired to intimidate me so that I would commit a sin by doing this, and then they would give me a bad name to discredit me. The whole point was either to get him to run and thereby look guilty, like, oh, well, he's running because the charges are true against him and he's going to have to run and hide somewhere. Or to get him to look weak by doing the same thing, by running and hiding instead of standing up and saying, well, that's just a load of baloney and nobody's going to believe that, and so just get on with it. Or they were trying to get him to actually run into the temple and hide inside the Holy of Holies, which would get him to be guilty of desecrating the temple. They're trying to get him to sin and to run and hide in order to discredit him. And Nehemiah understood that sin for him would not just be running and trying to hide in the temple. Sin would be to stop doing what God had called him to do in the first place. And that was to rebuild the walls and the gates of Jerusalem. Listen to me this morning. To let anyone stop you from obeying God and doing what's right. The Bible says, he that knoweth to do right and doesn't do it, to him it's a sin. To stop doing what God's called you to do and to run and hide or to run into rebellion, that's sin and disobedience. Don't let anyone stop you from obeying God and living out the call of God and the purpose of God for your life and in your life. So all of these things, the intrigue, the scheming, the temptation to quit, to compromise, to just come out to the summer retreat out here in the hills, the innuendo, the rumors, the intimidation, trying to get him to run and to sin, all of those things that happened to Nehemiah probably happened to us at times along the way. And our enemy, the devil, the enemy of our soul, tries his own schemes against us, tries to get us to stop, tries to get us to give up on God, to give up on the church. We make progress in our own spiritual life. We're building the walls back up to keep the devil out and to keep from making bad choices. We get the gates back up. We talked about the gates being the place where the judge is met. It's the center of control and authority in our life. And so we put Jesus on the throne of our life. And we're making progress and we're serving God and serving others. And then the enemy kind of steps in and starts just wearing us down, starts plotting against us, tries to get us to compromise, tries to get us just to burn out somehow. And we start hearing him suggesting, you know, what's the point? I mean, what's the point in serving God? What's the point in going to church? What's the point in going to CAG here? Or, you know, working, coming on Sunday morning? What's the point in that? What's the point in helping, really? I mean, is it really doing any good? What's the point in serving in the art park with the kids or working with Brittany and with the Carbondale kids or with Pastor Jeff? What's the point in being part of Team Carbondale? What's the point in singing in the choir? I mean, really, is that doing anything? Or what's the point in giving to a building fund? Nobody cares. It doesn't make any difference. I mean, pastor doesn't even acknowledge you. He doesn't even recognize you. He forgot your name, called you, you know, Bob or Larry or whoever, and your name's Rachel, so that was confusing. Or I don't know. I wouldn't do that, but anyway. I don't get that. I think really a name badge on everybody would be helpful. That's assuming we can figure out our own names. But we do our best. You try to live right, and then somebody starts a rumor about you or about your child or about your grandchild, or somebody picks on them upstairs or in youth or whatever, and the devil says, see, what's the point? What's the point? It's not getting you anywhere. What good does serving God really do you after all? Just take a break. Run and hide. Just get away. You know, they don't care about you. The youth are, you know, they're gossiping about you. They're gossiping about you in life group, or they're talking bad. And so, man, it just starts to spread and we just want to run and hide. And we face those same temptations. So let's look at Nehemiah because he's facing this. Let's look at his responses in a couple, three areas and then we'll be done. Look back at verse 3. When Sanballat says to him, why not take a little break from all that hard work you're doing? You need a rest from working on the wall. Come meet me in the Valley of Ono. Nehemiah responds, I am carrying on a great project. I think King James says a great work. And I cannot go down. Why should the work stop while I leave it and go down to you? I think this is the point that's being made. It's about eternity and it's too important. When the devil tells you, you need to stop. What's the point? Back away. Nehemiah understood the value and understood the importance of what he was doing. It wasn't just about bricks and mortar. It wasn't just about building a physical wall in Jerusalem. It was about more than that. It was about God's people. It was about God's city and honoring God among the nations. For 150 years, the city of God, that's what they called Jerusalem, the city of God. The city of God and the city of David had been torn down and was lying in rubble. That meant God's reputation was in rubble. Everybody that drove past or walked past went, oh yeah, that belonged to the people who said their God was the God of heaven and earth. And look how well their God protected them. They didn't understand that God had allowed the destruction to come. And so Nehemiah is saying, we're going to build this back up, and the reputation of God is being reestablished in the Middle East in the process. It was about honoring God among the nations, and it was about obedience to God and His command, plain and simple. So Nehemiah says, I can't quit. There's something of eternal significance, something of eternal importance going on here, and I'm not going to quit. Recognize it's eternal versus temporal. It's spiritual versus natural. It's life versus death. It's important because it's eternal and you can't quit. And hear what I'm trying to say today. It's important that your relationship with God is too important. Your salvation and your eternal soul and destiny are too important. You're involved in something eternal and it's important. You can't quit. Being a part of this church, if you're a family, and bringing your children to church, seeing that your children are raised in a godly home, seeing that they're a part of the children's ministry and part of the youth ministry and the programs of this church, it's too important. You can't walk away from that. It's too important that they know God and serve Him, that they're surrounded by godly influence in God's people. Their eternal destiny is at stake. It's not just a matter of, it doesn't matter whether we're at the lake on Sundays, we can worship God there. Yeah, let me know how that works out in about 20 years, all right? Take a Sunday and go to the lake, but I'm telling you, when you stop being a part of the life of the church, when you stop worshiping, when you stop that commitment and you compromise and you walk away, I'm preaching to somebody this morning, you're going to find yourself in trouble. It's about eternity, and it's too important. It's too important. You can't walk away from it. You can't. You can't afford to. You can't walk away from God or the church or your relationship with God. It's too important. You teach in that class of 3-year-olds or 4-year-olds in the nursery. It's too important. Understand, like Nehemiah, you're carrying on a great project. You can't give that up. You can't come down from there. You can't stop. And I know the enemy's going to say, come on, Nehemiah, you're just laying bricks on a wall. All right. How is that eternal? How is that important? And the devil's going to say to you, come on, you're just babysitting some little kids in a preschool nursery class. I mean, really? You're singing a song, trying to tell them about Jesus and giving them goldfish. So what's the point of that? How is that important? You're just singing in the choir. You're just being a worshiper. You're just greeting people on Sunday morning. You're just opening a door and handing them a bulletin. How is that eternal? And your answer needs to be, no, I'm carrying on a great project. I'm a part of something eternal. I'm a part of something important. I'm telling people about Jesus. I'm welcoming them into the presence of God. I'm lifting my voice for people that don't have a voice like Brian this morning. I'm worshiping. No, there's something important and something eternal going on. And so I'm not going to stop. It's about eternity. What you're doing, living for Jesus, raising your family to serve the Lord, being a part of the life of a church, it's about eternity and it's just too important. You can't quit. Don't let the devil's schemes, don't let somebody's gossip or their slander or their bad mouth about you or their kid, your kid or whatever, don't let any of that stop you from being in church. Don't let any of that stop you from serving God. It's about eternity and it's too important. It's too important. You know, I 20 years ago, 30 years ago, I would have preached that a little different. And I'm just too old and too far down the road to try to make that any more diplomatic than what I could. Well, you know, church attendance may or may not be that important. No, I, at this stage of my life, I'm just going to tell you, it's just pretty important. All right, I just haven't seen too many people that have made it without being a part of God's church and God's family and being there. Just, oh yeah, this is important. This is important. It's about eternity. Verse 4 says that 4 times they sent him the same message, and 4 times he gave them the same answer. You see, the enemy's persistent with his temptation and with his accusations. And there'll be plenty of opportunity to walk away. There'll be plenty of a voice is calling you to come down off the wall and call it quits. And fatigue and pain and disappointment will wear you down. And there'll be people. You know what? You know what church people are? They're people that go to church. And you know what people do? People do dumb stuff sometimes. And people walk up to you with good intentions and say just real stupid things sometimes. How much time we got? You got time for a Leon Russell story? So Leon Russell said, may he rest in peace. Leon said that he was in Vegas one time and he went to meet Elvis. And he said they took us backstage. They said, Leon Russell's here, he wants to meet you. And so he said they took us back there and he said, and you know what I said to Elvis? They introduced us and stuff. And he said, I just couldn't believe it. He said, but the first thing out of my mouth, I said to him, Elvis, how come you made all those dumb movies? He said, and he just looked at me. And he said, so you know what? Now when people come up and say really stupid, dumb things to me, I just think about Elvis. You know what? When people come up and say really dumb, stupid things to you or accuse you of something, think about Elvis and Leon for a minute. And then just smile and go on, because people are probably going to say and do some pretty dumb stuff along the way. It doesn't mean God stopped loving you or that the Bible's not true, or it doesn't mean that, well, there's not a perfect church anywhere. Well, it does mean that, because there's not a perfect church except the one that's already in heaven, the church triumphant. Look, this is who God's making the church out of, people like us. Man, this was all we had to work with. And he's doing pretty good, but it's just us. And we're not going to get it right all the time. But it's too important to walk away. It's about eternity. And it's important. Four times they sent him the word. Four times they said, come off the wall. And four times Nehemiah said, I can't. I can't. I can't. I can't. I can't disobey God. I can't quit working for him. It's about obedience. It's about eternity. It's too important. And I can't quit. And then here's the next thing. I won't run and I won't hide. Verse 10 and 11 when he said, look, just run and we'll hide in the temple. It'll be all right because they're coming by night to kill you. What he's saying is, you can run and hide in the darkness. And I know a whole lot of people that decided to hide in the darkness. The Bible says that men are lovers of darkness more than the light because their deeds are evil. And so he says, come run at night. Come run in the darkness. Nobody will see. Nobody will know. Nobody's going to know what you're doing because we'll be hiding in the dark. Hide and do as you please. You see, the devil wants you to compromise and to hide and to run from God and to run towards sin. And Nehemiah said, I can't stop doing what's right and I won't start doing what's wrong. I won't run from God. I won't run towards sin. And look at verse 11. He says, but I said, should a man like me run away or should one like me go into the temple to save his life? And look at those four words. I will not go. Here's the resolve we need. Like Nehemiah, that we're going to say, I will not go to the devil. When he says, come step away. Come be a part of this. Come participate in this. Come compromise. Come live this way. Four words. I will not go. I won't give in to the devil. I won't live that way. I won't live or act in such a way that brings reproach on me or my family or my name or on God or on the church family. The cost is too high. I'm not going to give in to the enemy. Don't run. Don't hide. Take a stand like Nehemiah. I will not go. And finally, look what Nehemiah says after verse 9 when he says, their hands will get too weak for the work and won't be completed. They were trying to frighten us. Nehemiah said, but I prayed, O Lord, strengthen my hands. They're trying to frighten us. O Lord, strengthen our hands. And how many times have you felt overwhelmed and frightened, like you just couldn't go on, and you're mentally and physically and spiritually and emotionally just spent, burned out and discouraged and depressed, and you're tired and you're at a youth retreat all weekend and you just whatever, and you're just ready to give up. I've written my resignation a few times over 40 years here, you know, 31 years as a pastor. I've written it out. I've probably got a file with two or three versions of it. At one point I was just going to say, folks, it's been a slice, and walk off and just disappear leave it at that. Who was that guy? Where'd he go? You know, today's the last day. We'll be seeing you. Good night, everybody. And be gone, you know. And so maybe you've written your farewell at your job, too. It might have been a little more brief than that. Been a little. Well, anyway. thinking about an old country song. But you just finally get to that place. What's the point? I just can't go on. I'm discouraged and I'm ready to quit. And our prayer is, oh Lord, strengthen my hands. Oh Lord, strengthen my hands to do the work You've called me to. Strengthen my hands so I'll stay on my assignment and I'll finish strong. Strengthen my hands because this is a great project. This is a good work that I'm a part of. It has eternal value and eternal significance. It's important to me. It's important to the next generation. It's important to the kids and the grandkids. It's an important part of the heritage. It's an important part of the legacy that I'm going to leave. Oh Lord, strengthen our hands. Strengthen our resolve and our commitment. We've come too far. We're too close to finishing the wall. We're too close to the answer. We're too close to the resolution. We're too close to the victory. And so we're saying, oh God, help me not to surrender. And I won't quit. I will not go. I'm going to stay here and do this. Strengthen our hands to keep working, to fight on, to push on through, to keep trusting, and to finish strong in spite of the intrigue or the innuendo or the intimidation. We didn't even talk about the infighting that went on in chapter 5, and I'll let you read that on your own, or the impossible odds, or the opposition that came from everywhere with enemies on every hand. But here's the end of the chapter 6. Here's the end of the story. So the wall was completed on the 25th of Elul in 52 days. And when all of our enemies heard about this, all the surrounding nations were afraid and they lost their self-confidence because they realized that this work had been done with the help of our God. Let me tell you something today. If you'll pray that prayer, oh God, strengthen my hands. I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to stop. I won't go with the devil. I won't back away from this. I'm going to stay strong and we're going to finish strong. If God will strengthen our hands, you'll get this done and the enemy will be stepping back from you. He'll lose confidence because he'll realize God is on your side. He's fighting the fight with you and you're going to make it with the help of your God. You're going to win your battle. I'll tell you what, God's people can end up just saying, devil, you need to get on out the way. All right, get on out of the way because we're going to finish the wall. All right, we're not coming down. We're not backing off because we understand the significance of this. We understand the eternal value. We understand what's going on here. It's about more than brick and mortar. It's about God and His people and His church and eternity. And we're going to finish strong and God's going to get glory. And the ones who opposed you, they're going to see that God did this. You know, the best way to silence your enemies and your critics is just to remain faithful and keep doing what God called you to do. And then there'll be success someday. They'll come by at your funeral and wag their heads and say, we never could get that one, could we? We never could stop him. We never could defeat him. And we're still going to be shouting the victory when we stand in his presence. Folks, I'm telling you, God wants to strengthen your hands today to finish strong. If you'll just ask him, he's going to help you. Amen. Let's stand together this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The wall is going to be completed. It's going to be finished in your life. The project you're working on. Somebody here today, you felt like giving up. You felt like just throwing in the towel. It was too much. I'm telling you. I tell you what, let's do this. We've still got a couple of minutes. If you're here this morning and you felt like giving up, coming down off the wall, quitting, I want you to just come and stand here at the front. We're going to pray for you right now. There's about 15 of you that need to come down here. Come on, join me right here. You just feel like, man, it's just been overwhelming. I just feel like giving up. I just feel like quitting. And God's telling you it's too important. We're back. It'd be easier to just give up. Be easier to throw in the towel. Be easier to just say, I'm not going to do it. But there's no quit. We can't. We can't. It's too important. There's too much at stake. It's about eternity. There's some more that need to come. God's speaking to your heart right now. And you're thinking, I don't want to walk down there. I don't want to commit to anything. You're not committing to a thing except in your heart and with Jesus. Come on. Come on. You need to come on. You need to come down here and join us and pray that prayer. Oh, God, strengthen my hands that I won't quit. I'm not going to quit. It's too important. It's too valuable. Eternity is at stake for somebody. Eternity is at stake for you, for your kids. Eternity is at stake for your grandkids. There's something going on and God's saying, no, we're not giving up. We're not quitting this thing. There's too much at stake. There's too much at stake. Come on. There's two more people somewhere you need to come. It's about you this morning. It is about you. So come on. Come on. Just a couple more. It's about you this morning. It's about you. God's saying, it's important. It's important that you get down here. It's important that you get down here and join them. Teenagers, you need God to strengthen you and help you. Man, you're fighting the fight and you're trying to hang in there, but you just feel like quitting. You've been thinking, I don't know. This has been tough. And my friends at school, they're all ragging on me about going to church and all that stuff like I've sold out somehow or another, and I don't know if I can do it or not. You need to know you can stand strong. You can do this thing. You can do this. Ask God to strengthen your hands so you can make it. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. We got room. We got room for you. Come on. You can stand strong in this. Now you see people down here that maybe you feel like you need to come pray for them. Come on down here. We're going to pray together. Come on. You just see somebody you need to, they need somebody to lay a hand on their shoulder and encourage them today. We need all kinds of ages and all kinds of folk. We're just going to come pray with them. I say, I don't know those people. Well, good. Then you'll meet a new friend while you're down here praying for them. Come on. We're going to pray this morning. Stretch your hands towards our friends here. Father, in the name of Jesus, we're down here because we realize, man, we've been under attack and we've just been thinking about calling it quits. It's just been too much. And the enemy's just throwing stuff at us left and right and telling us that we can't make it. And maybe the church isn't the place for us after all. And somebody said something about us, and there's innuendo and gossip that's gone around, or we're just too tired to press on. And what we're hearing today is the Spirit of the Lord reminding us that our God's going to fight for us. And we're going to do what is impossible. We're going to beat the odds. We can look it up, Lord. We're going to beat the odds for us or for our age or where we came from. Like Nancy this morning in the choir. We're going to beat the odds. I know what statistics say about what can or can't happen. I know what the statistics say. I know what the books say. I know what the media says. But that's not what we're talking about. We're going to beat the odds today. We're going to overcome by His power. He's going to strengthen our hands and our enemies and our critics. The ones who said it couldn't be done. The ones who said it would never happen. They're going to step back. They're the ones losing confidence because they're going to realize God stepped in and did this. God stepped in and did something that no other power could do. God made the difference. God made the difference for us. God made the difference. Strengthen our hands that we won't quit. Strengthen our hands so we won't quit. We won't give up. Strengthen our hands, Lord. It's been a little overwhelming, Lord, but Your strength is there for us. You're near to the brokenhearted. You're there to comfort us and to hold us. We won't come down off the wall. We're not going to quit. Our family's counting on us. Generations are counting on us. We won't stop. It's too important. It's eternity, so we're not going to quit. It's about eternity, so we can't quit. We can't stop. It's about the next generation, so we can't quit. We can't stop. It's too important. The devil wants to kill us. He wants to stop us. It's too important, Lord. Your love reaches us right where we are. Your mercy is there for us, Lord. You're there to strengthen us. We won't go. We won't quit. We won't compromise. We're not going to back down, Lord. We're going to stand strong because You call us. And the world's going to look and say, God had something to do with that. This work has been done with the help of our God. So we're not coming down off the wall. We're going to finish it. We're going to complete it. We're going to do what You've called us to do. We're going to do what You've asked us to do, Lord. There's strength when we don't think we can take another step. There's strength for us. When we just feel like we can't take another step, there's strength for us. When everything around us just wants to pull us down, there's strength for us. Oh, Lord, when everybody says it's not even worth the effort, there's strength for us. You enable us to do what nobody else can do. Lord, there's strength for us today. There's power for us today. There's a way through this trial for us today. There's victory for us today, Lord. It's ours. We claim it in the name of Jesus. We claim it in the name of Jesus. Lord, we've got the same resolve that Nehemiah had when he said, I will not go. I'm not going anywhere, Lord. I'm going to stay and serve You. I won't go. I don't care what anybody said. I don't care what the prophecy was over my life that I wasn't good enough, smart enough, that I couldn't keep serving God. I'm not going to go. I won't come down off the wall. I'm going to stay in there until the victory is ours. Let it be for us in the name of Jesus. Oh, I bless You today. Thank You, Lord.
Cease not when God has given you a plan. Cease not, no matter what enemy comes against you, because this plan from God is eternal. You
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for encouragement from the gift of the Spirit this morning. That we won't stop. Lord, we're not going to quit. We're not going to give up, Lord. Oh, it's just too easy to give up, isn't it? I mean, it'd just be too easy. Wouldn't it be nice to just rest? Poppies. We'll just lay down and take a little nap, you know. Wizard of Oz reference, yeah. Went over. Too many, what? People don't watch the Wizard of Oz anymore? We just lay down in the poppy fields and rest for a little while. And the next thing you know, the wicked witch has got you all wrapped up somewhere. And you're dealing with those flying monkeys. And it's a bad deal. She's got the shoes. And you're going to be in a jam. We can't. I don't know how I got there. But anyway, if it works, it works. I'm just telling you, there's no quit here. We're going to stay on the wall. Jim, nice to see you, buddy. We're going to stay on the wall, you know? We're going to stay on the wall. Good. We're going to stay on the wall. And we're going to finish. We're going to finish, right? We're going to finish strong. There's no quit, all right? We're just going to press on together. And when we look around, go back to chapter 2. Because that's the deal. That's part of what's happening right here. Because it says, and they finished this section, and working next to them was this guy. And he's working on that section. So, you know, next to Nicholas is Jim. And we're doing this shoulder to shoulder. And we're not going to quit. We just can't. There's too much at stake. Yeah, get a mic. Who's got a mic? Is there one back there? Paula, is there a mic back there? Whoever's got it. Thanks.
I feel like God has dealt with me in a very unusual way here of late. I've had a lot of time to spend with God and to get to know Him better. And I'm telling you now, if you don't have your feet planted on the rock of ages, you better work at it right away. Because we're in a testing time. And when we made up our mind and Pastor led us in, we will rise and build. The devil started organizing his forces, but he's a defeated foe. I tell you, the last few days, I've made hard decisions, but I found that Jesus was walking beside me. And whatever things God is dealing with you about, step into that place and be counted for the Lord. I want to spend my last years in this place doing exploits for Jesus. If He'll give me strength, I'm going to fight the devil tooth and toenail until I die. And God has something very special. And He chose a man that kicked and hollered and screamed. Didn't want to pastor this church. He wanted to do something else. He'd rather be a garbage harlot than to pastor this church. But God said, you're the man. And He also put His finger on his life and said, you are the one to rise and build. And He hates that. He likes comfort. And all of us do. But God has a plan. And He's raising up a church. And God revealed to me, as surely as I'm Margie McQueen, that He's one of the men, along with Darrell Wooten and Stephen Dixon, that are going to be the men that God's going to use in the end time harvest. I had to say this to you, I would fail God. So don't take anything that this man says from the pulpit. He's an anointed of God. And let's follow him. And anything God is speaking to you to do, step into that place and do it. Because I'm going to step off of the scene one day. And maybe anybody else might not be as mouthy as I am. But I'll guarantee you, I know God has followed me through these last few days. For the first time in my life, I had to bow and depend on somebody else because I gave up driving. But that doesn't make me a sad person. Because Pastor is going to help me. He's one of my sons. Pastor is one of my sons, and Paula is one of my daughters, and I'll guarantee you, I'm going to walk close to their side until Sarah, this morning, God spoke to me. He's fixing to use Sarah in a new dimension. He's moving all of us into a new dimension. So just breathe deep and put your stirrups down deep, because we're going to have to fight the devil, but we're going to win. We know the end of the story. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We know the end of the story and its victory.
Amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord a shout of praise this morning. Hallelujah. 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 I heard an old cowboy told Brother Newbern one time, he said, well, if nothing comes uncinched or unhooked, we're going to ride this thing to the end somehow or another. And yeah, that extraordinary lady right there talks to Jesus, and not just about us or whatever, but about the heart of this church or whatever. We're gonna not just physically build walls, but we're gonna do what God's calling us to do around here. I appreciate the moving of the Holy Spirit in the service this morning. Just that freedom to be able to worship and to serve God, to lift our voices to Him. This is a good place. If you're visiting this morning, this is a good place full of people that love Jesus and love one another, that'll stand by one another. We've been doing it a long time. We'll continue to do it. God's up to something good. The devil's not happy about it. But you know what? Just like Nehemiah, maybe not 52 days, but we're gonna build, and we're going to do what God calls us to do. There's better things ahead. Amen. Lord, I give you thanks and praise this morning. I give you thanks and praise because of the work you call us to do. It's a good work, a good project. Not building physical walls here, but the work of increase, of building your kingdom, of sowing seed for the gospel's sake, of telling people about Jesus, of being a place of healing and hope and laughter and peace in this community. Lord, let us faithfully do what you've called us to do. Let us offer ourselves as servants of the Lord to accomplish the purpose that you have for us. And Lord, the work's too important, so we won't stop and leave and go down to any scheme or plan of the enemy, because it's about eternity and it's important. We won't run, we won't hide, but we'll do what you call us to do until that day, Lord, that you say, and that's it. That's it. It's all done. Lord, we trust you. We give you thanks and praise as we serve you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.